Gather round, children, gather round. Every year, the day before the festival made famous in the quacks of Quedlinburg, all the town's kids compete in a dramatic race. This year, you'll be joining in, along with Quacks the Donkey and Co. Your job is to help your animal friends win the race by feeding them the best food along the way. Race your way to the finish line and win the town's coveted golden cauldron.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends of cute-looking animals, welcome to another episode here at the Kids Table section of the Game Table Podcast. My name is Jared, and, well, I'm all alone today. My kids are outside playing, having a grand old time, coming up with some kind of game, I'm sure, and did not have time to record a podcast with Dad this week. Very sad, but completely understandable. We've had a lot of nice weather lately. I will be your host for the podcast. I am truly honored and grateful that you have joined me here at this table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we'll be looking at Quacks & Co., designed by Wolfgang Warsch, artwork created by Michael Menzel, and published by Schmidtspiel. Quacks & Co. is the game we all wanted Candyland to be. You'll build your collection of tokens as you work different potential strategies and combos as you work your way along the route, hoping that you'll pull the right one out of your bag to get ahead of the pack, win the race, and win the coveted golden cauldron. Does this game deliver the best experience at the right time, or does it come to a screeching halt? Find out here at the kids' table. Well, Jared.
Yes, Jared.
I have a question for you. Oh, grand. I am just curious if you ever played Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, those sorts of games when you were growing up. Well, Jared, I did do that. Yes, I played that game. I played all those games, I think, as a small child, and then even some as I was growing up, because those games were quite popular and beyond easy to play. Yes, and would you say that you were often longing that they would add a little bit more to their gameplay? Well, yes, Jared. In fact, I would say that I was hoping that there'd be a smidgen of gameplay added to one of those games. But those games do have their place. I started my kids off with Candyland when they were three because I wanted them to learn basic rule structure, the fact that there's winners and losers, things of that nature. So they have their place. I just wish they had a little bit of decision involved as well. With Quacks & Co., I think that we get that. So you're still going along a track trying to be the first one to get to the end, and you're still pulling tokens out of a bag to determine how many spaces that you move, but you have a little bit of control over what tokens you put in your bag. And by having that choice, you have the opportunity to build potential strategies and make particular choices that control your outcome and how fast you move along the track. So, talking about how to play, I'll just kind of give a quick overview. You'll have a bag of tokens that you start the game with. Everyone has a particular animal that they're trying to get to the end. There's a donkey, there's a cow, a pig, and a sheep. And so you have a bag, and they're all sitting on this board at a starting space, and you'll pull out a token. It'll either be one of a various food type with a number on it, and that food will also trigger a certain ability. So for example, if you draw an apple, it's going to give you rubies, and that's the way that you get your currency in the game. If you draw a dreamweed token, it's going to go in one of the three cloud spaces on your animal board in front of you. And once all three of those clouds are filled up, it kind of indicates that your animal has gotten distracted and is needing new food. And so if you've collected some rubies, that will give you a chance to go to the marketplace and buy more tokens. There are a variety of tokens to work with. In the very basic game, there are four colored types. There's apples, corn, blueberries, and cabbages, all doing their own thing. And then if you add on a little bit extra, there are plums and carrots. And of course, there are the white radishes. The game has multiple levels of adjustment as far as complexity. You can do just the very base game with the four main of the apple, the corn, the cabbage, and the blueberries. You can also add in the white radish. And then last but not least, there's a couple extra things that come along with the carrot and the plums, which is your purple and orange. In case you don't know what colors fruits and vegetables are, I struggle with that sometimes. Rounds will continue like this until someone has reached the golden cauldron at the end of the game. There is two sides to the board. One has a longer version and one is a good bit shorter. So you can decide at the beginning of the game which board you are going to want to play on. It is still a very straightforward game, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit and some of the things that really kind of draw me in and what I like about this game. So I will jump out of this quick how to play and we will talk about the artwork. That was my fantastic one-person transition. So first, I do want to talk about the artwork. It's very cute. It's very cuddly almost in the way that meeples can be. Each animal is a cute little animal meeple figure and it has a little fun paint job on it and looks very cute. The tokens are nice and big, easy to pull out of the bag, and the bags are a nice feel to them. They don't feel super cheap, so very much adds to the experience of the game. This game is a kid's version of a very popular game called The Quacks of Quedlinburg. It's very popular, very much a push your luck style game. So if you like the art style but want something a little bit more, I would definitely recommend checking it out. That is by the same designer and publisher. So that would be an easy way to go check that out. And I will add a link in the description as well. So what's the draw to this game? Obviously, the simplicity really helps when it comes to playing with kids. I have successfully gotten my 7-year-old Faith, my 5-year-old Joy, and my 3-year-old Hope to all play this game at the same time, and everyone has had a great time, and we can stay focused pretty well for the short game. I would definitely recommend sticking to the short game if you are playing with someone younger than 5. Even then, I have not really been drawn to the longer game as many times as we've played it. I just think that the shorter game sits in a really nice spot with kids that are younger, and that's typically who you're going to be playing this game with. So that would be my recommendation, is definitely stick with that short map when you're going through this, and you can get through it in 20 or 25 minutes and the kids can stay pretty focused. The next thing that I really like is that there is a good amount of teaching of choice and strategy. You heard in the how to play, there are a variety of tokens that you can buy and work towards and build different strategies around. The different tokens can work together depending on what you end up building. And I just really enjoy that aspect of teaching the kids about basic choices in games and how that affects your overall engine and outcome in the game and how you can learn from those choices to develop your strategy going forward. Another thing that I really like is the different levels of gameplay. So there is a caterpillar side and a butterfly side, which is their advanced game. And you can play with just the 4 basic tokens. You can add in the radishes. You can add in the extra tokens and they can be on either side. And it really lets you take the game at your child's pace. I love different levels of gameplay at any game. I think it's an incredible mechanic where you can kind of ramp up the game at your speed and there is not a requirement to be all in immediately. And then the last thing is that it is quick. I love a game that gets in, does what it wants to do, and gets back out, especially with kids. I mean, y'all that have kids understand this. They just don't have a long attention span. And so you want to make sure that what they get to do is quick and then we can move on to something else and they can have a good time with that instead of getting dragged down and kind of fighting through to get to the end of the game. Some of the things that I don't really care for in this game, it's not very much, but I do think that the game can start to feel repetitive, especially if you're playing on that longer map. you're kind of just doing the same thing over and over again, and it can lose its interest and its appeal, especially for younger players. And then I have had games where one of the kids will end up with a few bad draws in a row. They might draw those dream weeds and they end up not actually getting to do anything for several rounds. And that can be a real bummer. So that's definitely something that can happen. It is a drawing game. So that's the case with anything like that, whether it be cards or tokens or dice. I mean, there is that chance that that can happen. So just something to be aware of and something to have a strategy on hand for how to help encourage them along when they get those bad draws. But I really enjoy this. I love that it's a game that is, there is a level of strategy that my three-year-old can participate in. And she does it all by herself. You know, there's a lot of games where she sits and participates, but she's really playing on either mom or dad's team. But in this case, she can do it all by herself. And I really enjoy watching her do that. There's not a ton of player interaction. In fact, there's almost none. You're pretty much playing your own game and you're just racing everybody else. The player count is 2 to 4. I think it plays well at all counts. Obviously, with lower counts, you can get through it faster, but I don't really feel like it adds a whole lot of time when you get up to those higher counts. So if I were to grade this game, we do thumbs up and thumbs down here on the kids table section. I would definitely give Quacks & Co. 2 thumbs up. I think that it's perfect for what it wants to do. I think that it engages a wide range of kids' ages, and I love the way that it adds all different levels of complexity to the game, depending on what you are looking for. So I know this episode was a little bit different, definitely a little bit weird for me. I definitely prefer the banter and the back and forth and being able to discuss, but I definitely want to make sure that we keep a good episode schedule, and I want to make sure that the kids are not being forced to do it, that it's something they want to do. So hopefully they're ready to jump back in next time. But for this, I thank you for those that have checked us out today. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, I would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I definitely get it. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Join us next week as Ian and I discuss Star Wars X-Wing, the miniatures game. It's definitely a different discussion as well, and I really enjoyed getting to record that one, so I hope that y'all enjoyed as well. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.